بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الهدى قاد للتقى ما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الصدقة لا تطفئ غضب الرب وتدفع ميتة السوء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Honorable elders, brothers, mothers and sisters who are listening at home, last Saturday, we spoke about how a person, whatever good he does it only for himself. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ. And whatever bad a person does, the effect of the bad that he does and the consequence of the bad and the evil that he does, it's only him that will receive the consequence. What good we do makes no difference to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What bad and evil we do makes no difference to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we spoke about how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, the awliya and the muttaqeen, despite their excessive worship of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they still always feared two things. They feared whether their ibadah was accepted in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they feared whether they would receive their death and their soul would be taken with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Number one, they would fear whether their ibadah was accepted or not. Today we do ibadah and we get happy over our worship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after performing salah, after prostrating in front of Almighty Allah, after doing sajda, what was the first dhikr and the first dua and the first words that would come out of the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after salah? Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Now we ask ourselves that you just finished praying salah. The Messenger of Allah just finished bowing down and prostrating in front of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do istighfar? This should be a time where a person, he appreciates and he thanks Almighty Allah for the tawfiq to praying, for performing salah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The ulama, they explain the reason behind this is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would think to himself that even though I performed salah, but I was not able to fulfill the right of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amount of khushu' and the amount of khudu' and the amount of concentration that I should have had in my salah, I didn't have that amount of concentration in my salah. That is why after salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, astaghfirullah, 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 three times. We should also make it our habit that before tasbihat that we do, 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, the tasbihat Fatimi, which we do after salah. Before that, immediately after salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And then he would say, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarak ya zal jalali wal ikram. This was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would continue with his adhkar. So the point I'm trying to get across is that the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Awliya'ullah, they would fear, after doing ibadah, they would fear whether their ibadah was accepted by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would fear whether they would receive husnul khatima or not, whether their death would be upon iman. And amazing, a prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam, he's a Nabi of Allah. He's the person who receives wahi from Allah. But he still is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me death as a Muslim. The dua comes in the Quran regarding Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam. He says, فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, oh Allah, O Creator of the skies, O Creator of the earth, Anta waliyi fi dunya wal akhirah. You are my friend, you are my guardian in this dunya and in the akhirah. Tawaffani musliman. O Allah, grant me death in the state that I am a Muslim, I have iman. Wa alhiqni bis salihin. And O Allah, resurrect me with the sulaha and the pious people on the day of qiyamah. Sayyiduna Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hakim ul Ummat, Mujaddid al Millat, Hazrat Marana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, someone asked him that who is better, you or a dog? So Marana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, he replied that if I die with iman, I am better than the dog, and if I die without iman, then the dog is better than me. So even though these pious people who are so close in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had such proximity with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even they didn't have confidence that they would die with death. However, they would die with iman. However, the ulama, they have written certain a'mal that we can do based on the nusus and based on the Quran and hadith. Certain a'mal that if we are punctual in and we are punctual with, then we can have some sort of certainty, and we can hope and we can wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will grant us death with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Number one, a person, he tries his hardest and he strives to achieve taqwa. We've spoken about taqwa with quite a bit of detail and quite a bit of length throughout the month of Ramadan. Taqwa means that a person, he tries his hardest to stay away from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. I've mentioned before that taqwa does not mean a lot of salah, a lot of zakat, a lot of umrah, a lot of tilawatul Quran, a lot of dua, a lot of charity. This is not what taqwa means. Taqwa means staying away, abstinence, staying away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. If we take account of our lives and we look into our lives, we can count the big sins we do. There's not so many sins that we, alhamdulillah, we are Muslim, we believe in Almighty Allah. We're not fusaqir, we're not fujjar. We have some sort of consciousness and we have some sort of awareness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Write the sins down. Have a diary. The same way we keep a diary, we keep a report for our business, we keep records for our school, we make a schedule, we time ourselves, we keep track of profit, we keep track of loss. We do these things for our dunya. Make a kitab, make a journal for your self-assessment, for your muhasabah, for your account. Write down those sins that you are involved in, which you have a difficulty in, which you have difficulty in staying away from. Sit down, write them down. Then contemplate, make a plan for yourself. For example, if a person, he has the bad habit of watching wrong things on the internet, on the computer at home, sit down, make an action plan. Think to yourself, what are some practical steps that I can do? Sit down with a scholar. Ask a scholar. Alhamdulillah, the scholars are there to guide us. They will not think bad of us. They will not have a negative image of us. Alhamdulillah, the youngsters, they come to me all the time with their personal problems and they say that I'm involved in this. Alhamdulillah, it doesn't change our image with regards to them. But we have to do this. Like the same way, if we have some sort of disease or we have some sort of illness or we have a boil or we have a pimple in our near our sharamga, near our private part, we'll still go to the doctor. We won't shy away, because if we shy away from the doctor, we don't go to the doctor, it's going to get worse until it might even be cancer, who knows. So we don't shy away from going to the doctor for our physical illnesses and our physical diseases. So we should not shy away from going to the ulama for our ruhani and our spiritual illnesses and our spiritual diseases. So make an action plan to yourself. If you think that there's something that you can do that will, which will keep you away from that thing. Maybe, for example, you have the computer or you have a laptop. Get rid of the laptop and buy a desktop computer and keep the desktop computer in such a place inside your house where everybody can see. And I maybe mentioned before, sometimes in Jum'ah, especially for the parents over here who have young children, who have children even from the age of 7, 8, 9, 10. Right now, every day, children are able to use the computer and the smartphone and the tablet from a very, very young age. And the computer and the tablet is full of filth. It's full of more filth than you can even imagine. Right? You know how to use the internet 50%. Your children know how to use the internet 100%. They know how to hide everything. They know how to keep everything private. They know how to delete the history. So, if you are a parent, you have children who are using the computer, don't allow them to use the computer. Don't allow them to use their phones. Don't allow them to use their tablets in the privacy of their rooms. Always keep the internet, the computer, and these things inside our house. We have it for a necessity. Keep it inside the living room where the parents are always walking around. And my beloved teacher, Hazrat Maulana Ziaul Haq Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, he used to tell us that when he was a youngster in India, his father was a very great sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the sheikh al-hadith of Darul Umbari for many, many years. He passed away in Madinat al-Munawwara on the 27th night of Ramadan in Sajda in Tahajjud. So he, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he would never ever allow the children inside the house to ever be inside the room alone with the door closed. Never. It was a policy inside the house, it was a rule inside the house that if the children, they should always be inside the living room where the parents can keep a watch on them, they keep an eye on them, and if they ever need to go inside the room, they need to go lie down or sleep or do whatever, they have to do it with the door open. So make an action plan. If there are some, make practical steps, write them down, and then keep a track of it, keep a record every day before you go to sleep. See how well you did, keep a check, and every day try and do better. So this is what we mean by achieving taqwa. And قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Another name for taqwa, we can also call it istiqama. We try and do something and we keep persistent upon it and we keep steadfast upon it. So the first thing that we should do if we want to get husnul khatima and we want to die with iman, first and foremost, we need to try and live a life of abstinence and we have to try and live a life of taqwa. Number two, the ulama have written that if a person wants to die with iman, then a person should adapt the company of the pious people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O people of iman, fear Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay in the company of the pious people. Stay in the company of the pious people. Have love for the pious people inside your heart. Have muhabba in your heart. Have qalbi muhabbat for the ahlullah, for the awliyaullah. Go to them, visit them, ask them to make dua for you. Take your children to them. When my marhum and my deceased grandfather, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his grave. I remember as a child that whenever any alim would come from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, any country, back in those days, we never used to have too many English lectures, it only used to be Urdu lectures, and I never used to understand a word of Urdu. But whenever there was, like any scholar used to come, whether it was in this masjid, in any of the neighboring masajid, my grandfather, I was a young child, 5, 6, 7 years old, he would always take me. He would call my house and he would say, we're going for bayan, I'm going to take you. And I would sit inside the lecture, I wouldn't understand a word. But I was the habit of my grandfather that after the lecture would finish, he would take me and he would make sure that I make musafaha. And I meet that pious person and my grandfather would ask that pious person that make dua for my grandson. So this is how we create the love of the Ahlullah in our children. If we don't do these things, then our children will grow up and they will not know what the masjid is, they will not know what Ahlullah are, they will not know what the people of Allah are, they will not have respect and reverence in their heart for the people of taqwa, for the salihin. So these are small steps, but these are very, very important in nurturing our young ones and doing the tarbiyah of our young ones. So step number two is staying in the company of the pious people, asking the pious people to make dua for you, and having love for the pious people. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Uthmani rahmatullahi alayh, he once was reading the ash'ar and the poetry of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh. And Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh, he writes some ash'ar in one place. Yak zamana suhbat ba awliya az behtar as sad sala ibadat beriya. That if a person spends a few moments in the company of the pious people, then it's better than doing 100 years of worship. So Mufti Shafi Uthmani rahmatullah alayhi, he couldn't understand these ash'ar and he thought that Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi was, you know, maybe some exaggerating a little bit. So he took this objection and he went to Hakim ul-Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, and he said that it seems like Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, he exaggerated a little bit over it. A few moments in the suhbat of a pious person compared to 100 years of ibadah, how can that match? There's a big difference between the two. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, he said that, forget exaggerating, I feel like Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, he said 100 years, it was less. He should have said 1,000 years. And he explained why. He said that our ibadah, there's no tikana of our ibadah, there's no guarantee of our ibadah. We don't have knowledge, maybe we are doing a lot of ibadah, but we are not doing according to the rules and the sharait and the conditions. We might be reading a lot of Qur'an, but we might be reading Qur'an without tajweed. Right, and it comes in some of the athar that a person who recites Quran but he's not fulfilled the rite of the Quran, he doesn't read the Quran correctly, the Quran, he'll be reading Quran but the Quran will be cursing him. Now I'm not discouraging anyone from reciting Quran, but if you are reciting Quran and you aren't able to recite correctly, then you should sit with somebody who knows how to recite and you should learn from that person. If you are learning And then you recite and you make mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon your mistake. Hatta ke comes in the hadith that a person who recites Quran and he has trouble reciting Quran, he will get more reward than the person who can recite Quran fluently. But the condition is you have to be learning. You have to sit with someone and you have to try and improve your recitation. So we might recite a lot of Quran, but we're not reciting our Quran correctly. We might be performing salah, but we are not performing our salah with the adab and the mustahabbat and the sunan of salah. So we do a lot of ibadah, but there's no guarantee that our ibadah is accepted. But a person who sits in the company of the Ahlullah, a person who sits in the company of the pious people, when Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Hum qawmun la yashqa bihim jalisuhum," that the people of Allah are such people that the person who sits with them, jalisuhum, the person who sits in their company, he will never ever be deprived, he will never ever be mahrum. So there's guarantee. You sit in the company of the Ahlullah, guaranteed benefit. You do ibadah, maybe you might not, your ibadah and your worship might not be accepted in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then one sahabi, he comes into the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, "O Messenger of Allah, mata sa'a? O Messenger of Allah, when is qiyamah? When is the day of resurrection? When is the day of judgment?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, big question, like, "Wama a'adadta laha?" Very good question, but what preparation did you make for the day of Qiyamah? So the Sahabi replied, "Ma a'adadtu laha min kabirin." I did not make any big preparations for the day of Qiyamah, walakin yuhibbu Allah wa rasulah. I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said some words, and those words give me and you a lot of hope. It says, "Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba." That a person will be on the day of Qiyamah with the ones who he loves. A person will be with the people who he loves. So even if we are not pious, even if we don't have a very high level of taqwa, we don't have a whole big, we are not on the high stages of wilaya and friendship of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have love in our hearts for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. When we take the name of the Sahaba, we always take the name with respect. We just don't say Umar, Abu Bakr, Ali, Uthman. Always Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an. We always give dua radiallahu an. We take the name of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with a lot of love, respect. When someone mentions the Sahaba, we feel love inside our heart for them. When someone mentions the name of the Awliyaullah and the pious predecessors, we feel this jolt of love inside our hearts. This is a sign that we have love for the people of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says inside here, "Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba," that on the day of Qiyamah, a person, he will be with those whom he loved. The sha'ir says, "Uhibbu saliheena walastu minhum la'allallaha yarzuquni salahan," that I love the pious people even though I am not from amongst them. But maybe because of my love for the pious people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant me piety. So number one, try and live a life of taqwa. Even if you are not living a life of taqwa right now, make a plan, try and stay away, make an action plan to stay away from those sins that you have difficulty and you find it hard to stay away from. Number two, stay in the company of the pious people and create love in your heart for the pious people. These are two out of five or six things that the ulama have mentioned that will give us hope to have husnul khatima. Inshallah, we can speak about the rest of them later on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the sahaba, of the ahlullah, of the muttaqeen, of the salihin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us all on the day of qiyamah amongst them. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina mawlana Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.